Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Yowza. It's Monday. A whole new week is here. A whole new Donald Trump trial is doing jury selection. And a whole new Jim Watkins is here to join us on this Monday. Jim is the host of Jim Watkins is Speaking Out, the podcast. You can find it at jimwatkins1.com, or just go to your favorite podcast app and type in Jim Watkins and say his name a bunch of times and he'll appear. Hello there, James. Uh-oh. I put him on, but nothing happened. There he is. Hi, Jim.
I'm good. Hey, how is the weather up there? I hear you guys got a bit of rain headed your way.
Well, there's a little rain around always, but I think we're in a high pressure front for the next couple of days. I think we're good.
Oh, is that right?
It might be heading this way, but that doesn't mean it'll reach us.
No, I was curious because I saw the unbelievable temperature of 73, and I thought, my goodness, I guess winter is over for you guys.
I thought that was very exciting, but then I was talking to somebody in Philadelphia earlier, and they said it was in the 80s there.
Oh my, okay.
That's why they call it the city of brotherly love.
Oh, why is that? Because
it's in the 80s.
Oh, that's right. So we are, of course, looking at a new trial, and I don't understand it, man. You're going to have to explain this one to me, Todd. Mm-hmm. How is it that you remember John Edwards? Remember when he was caught in that?
Jonathan Edwards?
The guy that was running for president. And
oh, John Edwards, the little slime ball character, yes.
Yeah, and they tried to get him on the same thing that the Justice Department then tried to get on John Edwards, because he hid the money that he gave to the mother of his illegitimate child.
Mm-hmm.
And that came back with a not guilty, and there were other charges I was just reading this morning, and the jury was deadlocked on that trial. Now, the lesson learned there was that somebody giving somebody money and telling him, hey, can you don't say anything, is not in and of itself a crime. And now what the Justice Department is doing in New York is trying to take what is a misdemeanor, which is not identifying a campaign made or a contribution made to your campaign, and they're trying to turn it into a felony. Now we're talking
about
a relationship.
Converting it to a federal case.
Yeah, which is, it's so blatantly obvious that this is political lawfare. And I don't know, okay, so let's all assume that, yeah, maybe there's a crime here and maybe Trump was deceptive. If that was deceptive, everybody in Washington would be in jail right now.
And well, no, because they're all deceptive all the time, you're right, but it's not always rising to the level of where you can get away with charging a crime. And getting away with charging a crime, even for us, I think, has to do with how they feel about us. You know, like there's a part of it that's optional, and they hate Trump, so they're going to exercise the option.
Yeah, and everybody that doesn't like Trump is going to watch the trial. They're going to watch Michael Cohen go on. Maybe are we going to get it? What would really be exciting is to see Stormy Daniels and have her come up and talk about how wonderful Trump is. Because I don't think I've ever heard her say anything negative about Trump. I would call her to the stand, and well, maybe Trump wouldn't, but I mean, look, I think she actually thinks he's a decent guy, Could you imagine if she went up on the stand and said, you know what? What we had between ourselves was special, and it's nobody else's business. End of story.
Well, she has in the past made statements that said nothing untoward happened. But I guess that this time she must be primed to say something different.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But again, it's just it's political. It's what I don't like, and I think you probably can figure this out, is I don't like the fact that people are willing to compromise their normal sense of fairness and they throw it out the window just because they don't like somebody. And that, to me, is a huge character flaw.
Well, it's also a character flaw that they're injecting into our system of government, which makes us...
Well, that's offensive.
Yeah.
I just find that altogether offensive, because what they're basically doing is using their position to make my guy look bad so that they can say, see. And but that's also eye candy, and there are more serious things going on than this trial. So once again, all of our attention is going to be diverted away from the real problem, which is that America is retreating on the global stage, and we're seeing it slowly come apart because of Biden's lack of foreign policy expertise, whatever you want to call it.
Well, what exactly is our sliding on the foreign stage? Like, why is that an imperative? Why should we be in charge of the world? And how should we, you know, how should all that be exercised right now with regard to Israel? And what exactly is Biden doing wrong?
Well, what Biden is doing is he's enabling Iran to retain his position by telling Israel, you can go ahead and attack them if you want to, but if you do, we're not going to support you. We would rather you just be patient and try to deal with this through diplomacy. But Iran is itching at the fingers here. Don't you find it interesting that they fired 99% of their drones and missiles? They didn't get through the Iron Dome. So now they figured out 99% ways not to fire on Israel. The next strike is not going to be with drones, I can guarantee you. But I think it's because the Biden administration, Jake Sullivan and his power circle, I think what they want is they want to appease Iran. They want to appease the Ayatollah. And it's probably because they've got people who are surrounding Trump that are, how shall we say, favorite, you know, like the Valerie, what's her name, that used to be in the Obama
Jarrett.
Administration. Yeah, Valerie Jarrett. I think, didn't she grow up in Iran or something? And so this is nothing more than, I think, a circle of Islamists who are trying to convince Trump that it's Israel that's the evil one in this one.
Convince Biden,
and,
you
mean? Biden, yeah. Sorry, mm-hmm. Biden. Yeah, again, it's just weak leadership. And I was a little nervous this weekend. I'm getting more and more nervous when things don't happen, because it just seemed like we were all ready for World War III, and by Sunday we were all talking about the Trump trial again. So the
universal response seemed to be last night. Was it last night or the night before?
You mean when they fired on?
Friday night, Saturday morning. Okay, so the you had all these missiles going in, and virtually all were slapped away, like it was just recreation. It was kind of an amazing show, wasn't it? And the general media response was one of glee over how effectively the things. I had to laugh because you remember during the Reagan administration when Reagan wanted to do the obvious thing, and that was develop technology to protect us from
Star Wars and all that
incoming missiles.
Yeah.
And the media was so gleeful over the idea that Israel had slapped away all these missiles like they were nothing. And what did you think about that response and the fact that the media was so excited about this military power?
I don't know. I didn't detect that. I detected that everybody was just glad that none of them got through. Maybe one or two of them got through.
Yeah,
Iran is spinning it as a victory, and I think Palestinians are talking about it as a victory.
Might try to spin it, but how is it a victory?
Because they aren't being pummeled this morning by United States missiles coming off the USS Eisenhower.
But that's the consolation prize they're being offered as a carrot, isn't it? I mean, the big fear is that that the Biden administration has is that we slip into a Middle Eastern war. And do you see no value
in our strength? Look, you know, Israel has a right to defend itself, and I don't care what the people on the left say about this. And it's never going to stop as long as Iran is back there pulling all the strings. To me, the real problem here is Iran. And unfortunately, we're in a quagmire because they have a great percentage of the world's oil. They're friends with Russia. They're friends, and they've got the support they need from China. So in a way, they are a little bully that is protected by two bigger bullies, and America can't do anything about it at this point. We don't really know what to do.
And what would President Jim Watkins do?
Our CIA is really good at overthrowing governments. I would say the CIA needs to get back on track, focus, and create enough dissent in Iran where the people will be empowered to overthrow their government. That's what needs to happen. It has to come from within. And I've been saying that about Gaza as well. The Palestinians need to know that it's not Israel that is their enemy. It's Hamas. It's the people that are being run by the Ayatollahs. And in another time, we could talk about why it is that Iran is doing what they're doing. And they are no different from China or North Korea. They terrorize their people. Their people live in fear. They live in a prison. And they're never going to stop doing what they're doing, ever. So that's what we're dealt with. That's what we in the West have to deal with. Unfortunately, too many people in Europe don't have the stomach for the kind of battle that is needed to defeat these people. They certainly want to defeat the West.
We're talking to Jim Watkins. Jim Watkins is speaking out on his podcast, and here today, he's Warmonger Watkins. More coming up on WTIC.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
He's on a rampage, Jim Watkins. Check out his podcast. Jim Watkins is speaking out. All right, what else is getting you really going? What else is driving you crazy, Jim?
I don't want your listeners to think I'm just this grumpy old white guy. You know, I do.
Well,
have
you
a
are white,
humor, and I'm grumpy, but not all the time. I love movies,
old.
And my wife and I were. This is sort of like, you know, water cooler talk. But do you think that today, with all the inclusiveness and the diversity and the culture, do you think TV and movies are as good today as they were back when you and I were? We're young.
Well, that's tough. I think a lot in the world has changed. I don't know what exactly you would ascribe it to, but the people making movies, like that industry has changed so much, and the audiences have changed, and you've got streaming now, and people don't go to movie theaters much, so the demands of the entertainment, I think, have changed. The marketplace is largely different.
And all that.
Yeah. But I do have a ton of trouble watching half of the stuff. But I assume I would have felt that way if I was this age 50 years ago.
Well, I remember when, I mean, I guess we all have that sort of a romanticized view of our past, but I just think that the quality of the writing, not necessarily the quality of the imagery, the makeup was certainly weird. People wore funny clothes and all that. The color wasn't always very good, but in essence, the quality sort of made it. So, like, you could watch a show like Marcus Welby. Does anybody remember Marcus Welby? Anyway, the point, or something funny like Seinfeld, we've talked about that. The point is, Michael J. Fox came out today, and he's loved by everyone, and he said, you know, they don't make movies, they don't have the same standards today as they did back then, and it was much harder to break into Hollywood. He says, for example, one of the things you needed then that you don't need today is talent.
That's interesting. But maybe he's just a grumpy old man.
Well, maybe, but I think there's a lot of truth to it, because when they cast people now, they don't think about whether, like, for example, they would get angry if you hired a non-gay person to portray a gay person, right? Or anything of that. They actually turned down. I read recently that they were going to make a movie about Sitting Bull, but the union got upset because they wanted to cast a non-Indian to play the role. I think it might have been even Daniel Day-Lewis or somebody of that stature. And that's the thing is when merit is replaced by the, you know, attempt to go diverse, I think that creativity.
Yeah, but overall, I feel like acting is much better now than it used to be. That's one of my problems with old movies. I really can't watch a lot of old movies. Like going, I'm not talking the 70s so much, but before then, I just feel like it was a different thing. It was two-dimensional acting before.
Yeah, I mean, Singing in the Rain, I mean, you know, or even Ten Commandments, you know, when you watch the way that Heston plays Moses.
Yeah.
It's more like a stage production than a... No, but I'm just talking about generally, like Serpico and the era of De Niro and Hoffman and all these, even Jane Fonda. I mean, these were terrific actors. I don't see a fresh crop of really fantastic actors out there.
Yeah, but I can't separate it out, but whether it's the acting or the... I feel there's more intensity and more... and things are more powerful. Like, we've been watching this series on Apple Plus... The Morning Show.
Right. You know we watched that with Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. And Jen Aniston. And
that
first season was riveting, I thought. I don't know that I've ever seen television as powerful as that and the royal family thing that they made, The Crown. It's more like watching a great movie, some of these TV shows, than watching... TV.
Well, with few exceptions, I guess you could say, but that's the thing. It's the exception to the rule. But we were so overwhelmed, I think. I give much more credit to the writers and the producers because there was a lot more originality. Nowadays, everything is a rehash of something else. They redo
Yeah, well, that's because it's so expensive to produce. They just look for easy money because they figure people are dumb. And if we give them a brand, you know, if you can call it the name of something for 50 years ago, like... call it the Chipmunks, and you'll have a hit. It doesn't matter what kind of garbage you put in it.
Yeah. Well, it's a call out to people who are, I guess I speak on behalf of the artists. Art should be held for, you know, what it is and the who the artist was, where they came from. It's the old, you know,
but who
Martin
do you
Luther
feel
King
so great about from the past? Like, did you love Jane Fonda that much or her brother Peter or...
Well,
you know,
no,
what was it that was so impressive in the past?
I think the richness and diversity, the complexity, there was a lot
Barbara Streisand?
Well, see, but again, she was a great actress. I loved her movie. I loved A Star Is Born. I thought Funny Girl was a great movie for her. Yentl was a great piece. But there was less preachiness and virtue signaling than there is today.
Yeah, but that's
today.
The culture.
Today,
what are you going to do? We're stuck with the culture. I agree with you on the culture. I hate the cultural stuff of today. But hopefully we'll get that out of the culture really soon.
Sure. But I do like a good movie. I also like good books. And I would recommend, if you'd like me to recommend a good book I'm reading now, it's really educational because it goes back through the years of communism and what has happened to all of the countries who have embraced it. And it's very well written. It's called Devil in Communist China, Steve Morsch. And I'm really in love with it. I cannot stop reading it. I didn't know how bad it really was in places like Cambodia and Vietnam.
You mean how bad life was?
How bad life continues to be. And I think anybody who is flirting with socialism or ideas of Marxism, they should read this book because it's going to open your eyes up to the real dangers of this ideology. It's pretty breathtaking. So,
all right, Jim. Well, you were kind of all over the place today. It was fun. I like your randomness. You're supporting Hollywood back from the old days of Hollywood as opposed to the current days. And
I'm a lover of the past.
You like the old days of war better than the new days of war. So you kind of picked your spots, you know.
Well, you know, I'm constantly fascinated by life. That's for sure. No question.
Well, that's the way to be, Jim Watkins. Check out his podcast. You can just go into your favorite podcast app or the one you use, whether you like it or not, and type in Jim Watkins is speaking. I just type J-I-M, and there your picture pops up. I love it, Jim.
That's amazing.
In case I forget what you look like, it's just like that.
Well, I appreciate your time with you, too. I promote you all the time on my podcast.
Thank you for that, Jim. We'll see you next week.
You got it, buddy.
Thank you, sir. JimWatkins1.com is his website. We're going to get a news update. More coming your way on WTN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I see.
Why wait? Come on. Oh, come on. Why wait? You can rant right now at 860-751-4698 on the Todd Feinberg Show.
All right. It's a whole new week. It's a whole new time of year. There's warmth in the air. Must make you feel different, doesn't it? Does it make you feel excited? What are you there for? What's top of mind this week? There's the news. There's Donald Trump back in court. There is the Middle East, war escalating as Iran attacks Israel directly, and the U.S. joins a coalition, mostly us and the Israelis, I think, to defend. How do you feel about that? Do you think war is imminent? Are we going to look back at this era and say we were so naive? What was wrong with us that we just thought everything was fine? There was nothing to worry about. What is going on? 860-522-9842. What exactly upsets you today? If you were the talk host today and you were going on to do a rant, what would the rant be? What would the subject matter be? You know, if you just wanted to get something off your chest, what is it? 860-522-9842. That's pretty simple, right? And the rant line number, 860-751-4698. Everett's in East Hartford. Hi, Everett.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My rant would be about all the senators and congressmen that refuse to do their job that they took oath to uphold as far as letting all the illegal aliens in and then basically aiding and abetting them with our tax dollars. Because if you were to take somebody from a foreign country, bring them here illegally, and pay for their room and board, give them a phone and spending money, you would go to jail.
The senators are particularly bizarre creatures, aren't they? That I feel like they degrade the U.S. Senate. Even though I don't feel highly about Congress, I feel like there used to be people of some level of gravitas. Now it's just a clown show. Do anything to win a news cycle.
Joe Lieberman was our last good senator, in my opinion. God rest his soul. But Joe, I thought, did a very good job as a senator for the state of Connecticut.
He made you proud, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't always agree with the man, but he had a certain set of principles that he stood behind. So you pretty much knew where you stood with him. And I actually respect that. Whether I agree with your opinion or not, I respected the man.
Yeah. Gotcha. I mean, that's how I feel about people should have convictions. They should stand by their convictions. We can cut people slack if they're straight shooters.
Yeah, no, and again, I think that's one of the appeals to some of the newer Republicans, you know, or Republican governor in Florida. Again, Marjorie Taylor Greene, not that I agree with her all the time, but she's pretty straightforward. There ain't no holding back. You know, whether you like her or not, she pretty much speaks her mind.
All right, Everett. So, it's good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate that, sir. 860-522-9842. One of the things I wanted to throw in as a side issue here is that we live in the world of data. And in this world of data, what that means is computers collect everything. And the power of all this information being plugged into computers all the time is that you can run cross tabs. That means you can say, if we've got the people who eat juicy fruit gum every day, we can find out how they fall on the death rate. Do they have a higher death rate or lower death rate than average? You just find random cross tabs and see how things work out. So as a result of this, we in the media get bombarded with press releases that are designed to bring attention to organizations or what have you, to bring news attention for crosstabs that pop up. So here's one. Connecticut named among the highest spending states in America, which, of course, we knew. But it's a new bit of research. A new study has revealed the highest spending states. Massachusetts takes the top spot. It ranks number one with a total personal consumption expenditure of $64,214 per person in the state. Some of the state's highest expenses came from services such as housing and utilities, $11,000 plus per individual, and healthcare at $10,500. Coming in second is New Hampshire. Coming in third is Connecticut. Fifth is New Jersey. Isn't it interesting that states in the Northeast tend to be the more expensive ones to live? Isn't it expensive? Isn't it just ridiculously expensive in New England? And isn't it some form of persecution, ideological persecution? Like, why are Massachusetts? Well, you'll see. I'll go run through some of these. But it's so frequent that New England states are up there or in northeastern region. It's just kind of weird. I'm just looking for another one here that would be fun to share with you. Because these, I know, I'm looking at the wrong cross tab, as a matter of fact. I want to run through a bunch of these. These are fun. Listen to this. Been meaning to do this for a while, too. Most popular cryptocurrencies in Connecticut. Bitcoin is number one, Binance number two, and Ripple number three. I've never heard of Ripple. Ethereum 4 and EOS 5. Are you an investor in Bitcoin? And which is your favorite? That's kind of strange, isn't it? Danger on the road. State-by-state holiday driving. New research shows the most dangerous states during the holidays. Connecticut, number two. The other thing that's amazing on these lists, these are just raw lists. There's no bias in them that we know of. At least nobody's out to get any particular states. It's just the crosstabs on all this data they drop into computers these days. The number two state for the highest number of accidents during the holidays is Connecticut. Idaho, number one. I don't know. Florida, number nine. South Carolina, 10. Vermont, number five. Again, you've got two New England states in the top five. I don't know what that's all about. New Year's Day is named the most fatal day for holiday driving. Would you have guessed that? All right, here are your holidays rated. New Year's Day is the most dangerous holiday. Independence Day is second. Juneteenth is third. It just started. How can it already rate in the top? Memorial Day is fourth. Labor Day, five. It's funny. Doesn't everybody think New Year's Eve is the most dangerous time to get in the car? What are feet pictures? How to sell feet pics was the top search term for how to sell things. See, this is the world of data. It's just bringing us in a crazy direction. What do people do? Death behind bars, unveiling Connecticut's shocking prison mortality rate. The mortality rate in Connecticut prisons is 13.6. The leading cause of death in Connecticut prisons is heart disease. Suicide is the leading cause of unnatural deaths, with 80 deaths recorded. So, that's pretty interesting, huh? Well, not that interesting. Okay, not that interesting. 860-522-9842. Rant line number 860-751-4698. Where else are we looking for crazy? I don't know. There's crazy stats all over the place. Manchester. Patrick calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for the call, sir.
Good to talk to you. I used to be a volunteer firefighter, and we would actually stay at the firehouse on New Year's Eve because after midnight, all the crazy calls came in. So if something happened at 1 o'clock in the morning, that was actually New Year's Day.
So in your mind, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, that was the dangerous time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And did you get more bad accident calls? Is that what you're saying? Like drunk drivers?
This was years ago when I was in, but yeah, I mean, there was a lot of DWI crashes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Do you think DWI's gone down at all? Do you think they've gotten tougher and that getting tougher has resulted in better behavior or no?
I do, but I also think the thing that's been crazy around here this year is the wrong way crashes.
What is that all about? Have you heard any theories?
No, I have not. I have not. But it every weekend you hear it. Every weekend there's one or two somewhere.
It's bizarre. So, no, it's like somebody invented a new stupid thing to do.
Well, my sister was skiing in New Hampshire last week, and someone said they're from Connecticut, and they brought up the wrong way crashes.
They discussed them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's weird. Very weird. Oh, Patrick, you're in a bad section, but thank you for the call. 860-522-9842. Any theories on wrong way crashes, please? Because I don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened, I don't think. 860-522-9842. We got John in the car. Hi, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm listening to the statistics talk. There's a great website you got to check out. It's called shadowstats.com.
Shadowstats.com.
It's basically looks at inflation at the way the government used to compute it. So, in other words, we
have. Yeah, they change it to make them look better, right?
Right. They call it, I forget what they call it now. They take out the most important things, core energy and the core food, but. If we use the old stats, we're in much deeper doo-doo than we are now.
Isn't it funny that the government, our government, we pay them and give them our power, and their response is to lie to us and deceive us?
Well, it seems like the way to go today. That's the only thing they have left to stay in power.
How bizarre is that, though, John?
Yeah, welcome to America 2024. So don't believe anything you read and half of what you see for yourself, too. Thank you.
All right. You tell them, John. Appreciate it. 860-522-9842. Quick break. More calls coming up on WTIC.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
Here's another stupid stat for you. A new study of diabetes shows that Connecticut is number two in the country with the highest rate of new cases of diabetes. A 13.25% increase in individuals with diabetes. 36,484 cases the last year they did this in 2021. First is South Dakota, second Connecticut, California third, Nevada fourth, and Virginia fifth. You have to go all the way to number 10 to get another New England state on this one, Massachusetts. What do you think about that? Robert's in South Windsor. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Todd. Good afternoon. Just a comment I heard previous people speaking about the wrong way crashes. Mm-hmm. And
you got an answer for us?
What I really suspect, and I've heard something on the news somewhere, that 90-some-odd% of them were impaired driving. And what changed, you said, in regard to why all of a sudden over the last couple of years? Well, what changed is they signed into law the cannabis usage. So I think that's compounding a problem we had, you know, not so much before, but now it's compounding it.
So does intoxication by all substances go under impaired driving?
I believe so, but I'd have to look at that.
Because it should be broken down separately so that we can examine. A lot of people have that theory that you're sharing, yeah. Robert. But we need some data on it.
Yeah, I guess you could dig into the public records, which I think we have access to go ahead and research that if somebody had the time to do that. Sure. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, sir, for the call. Good to talk with you. Mark's in Manchester. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Todd. How's it going?
What's happening?
Not much. You're talking about funny statistics?
Yes.
And stuff like that?
Stupid stats.
New England, we have, like, the highest usage of, like, Adderall and stuff like that. And do you know why?
Because people can't concentrate?
No, because we have all the Ivy League schools here.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, everybody's under a lot of pressure to perform, so they pop pills.
Exactly. Yep.
Have you ever tried Adderall?
They put me on it when I was younger because they said I had ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that. I mean, you want to hear a theory on ADHD.
Yep.
One of my teachers just said, you know, back way, way, way back in the day when you're hunter-gatherers,
mm-hmm.
you needed people in your tribe to, like, always be on the lookout. You know what I mean? Looking over the horizon and looking for things.
So you needed fidgety people who couldn't fall asleep and couldn't concentrate.
So, yeah, fast forward however many years, you try to put somebody in the school and they can't sit down at a desk and concentrate on something they don't want to concentrate on. What do? You medicate them. That's not right.
No.
You know? So, I mean, I'm not.
If we had that a couple hundred years ago, everybody would be dead.
Exactly. So let's just medicate everybody, you know?
I hate it. It's an awful thing. Thank you for that, Mark. Rob in Middletown. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Todd, what's going on the roads is a shame because the kids nowadays have to have driver's education before they can actually get a license in the state of Connecticut. That doesn't seem to be working too good. It's just a combination of a preponderance of ignorance mixed in with a little inconsideration. That's all it is. I heard the guy, Shackman, had the guy from Travelers on. He wants to blame it on COVID. They want to blame everything on COVID. I'm on the road about 35,000 miles a year. I see it every day.
And what is it that you see?
Lane. Nobody else can be in that lane. Look out. I'm going to take this exit and go across four lanes of traffic. I just watched a guy almost rear-end someone on the exit ramp.
There is a lot of that that goes on, that let's cross the whole highway to get off.
Yeah. And there's another thing they find. They like to see how close they can get to your back bumper when they're going across three lanes.
Only if they're going like 75 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Because you're slowing them down.
I think another kid died right at exit 21 on 91 last week doing that.
It's it is a little out of control. I have to confess that. Thank you, Rob. 860-522-9842. We're talking stupid statistics, my new name for this segment. We'll talk more about it coming up after news on WTIC. And now, what do? We go to Mark Christopher, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center, because Mark watches the roads and he looks to see where you can drive fast and where you're stuck going slow. What's going on right now, sir?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.